Let's open our Bibles. And I mentioned that the Lord had placed the epistle of Paul, Timothy, on my heart. And it's been on my heart for quite some time. And I'm grateful to God and excited, if the Lord tarry, what He's been bringing out and what He, again, the meaning of these letters to us, and especially how meaningful they are to us right now. And I pray that by God's grace, we see that in spirit, these letters truly are written to us. I am overwhelmed at the love and the faithfulness of God and how His Word, because Jesus Christ is the Word, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word is, what a lowly word to say, applicable. But it's applicable forever. It's instant and it's in season and it's for us forever. And I'm grateful to God for that. But this letter, I'm so grateful. How it is the follow me as I follow Christ. A continuation of that encouragement in that doctrine. And it didn't only pertain to Timothy. See, this was a dear brother, but it's pertaining to us, brothers and sisters. We know that. See, this letter is so timely for the encouragement that we need at this precious time. At this precious time, we need to be encouraged. At this precious time, we need to be strengthened. At this precious time, we need to stand, we need to be of good courage, and we need to endure hardness as good soldiers. We're in it. There is a battle going on. We know that, but it's fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not trying to go around stirring up trouble. Matter of fact, the Lord is encouraging my heart to flee from that stuff. But it's amazing as we stand, praise God, the Lord brings us in and through. And again, He goes before us and we know that. But praise God that we see His faithfulness. But this is truly to the Timothys of this age. And when I say the Timothys of this age, we're speaking of ones that are called and chosen and who have received and who listen and hear and attend by God's grace to the instruction of fighting the good fight of faith, to endure only sound doctrine, and as we will read, holding faith and a good conscience. And I pray, brothers and sisters, we are as the beloved sons to Paul. We will see that Paul calls Timothy his beloved son in faith. See, it's not again, naturally by blood or anything of that nature, brothers and sisters, it's in faith. And the reason I say that is because I pray that we too continue, because I know we have, to be nursed and instructed under Paul's epistle so that we are ready to fight a good warfare. See, we don't run this race as those that just beat the air. We don't. We're running for a purpose. There's a mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to have a wife. Praise be to God. I am so thankful that in the analogy and the type that we have in our own relationships, and I'm so thankful to God that He's magnified in that highest type of love that we have naturally between a husband and his wife, that that is the type that God has used of who He is seeking for His Son. He is searching for that goodly pearl. He has given all that He had. Praise God. He is seeking them that worship Him in spirit and in truth, the true worshipers. And in that, brothers and sisters, I'm grateful to God that even though we have that wondrous analogy, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. What it's going to be beyond. Praise God. And how wonderful that by His Spirit, but my goodness, when we get a body like unto His own glorious body, what we're going to experience, the ecstasy, the thrill, the pleasure, my oh my, praise His holy name. Now, I want you to think about this, Timothy, as we start here. His mom and grandma were most likely led to the Lord under Paul's ministry when he was going through his first missionary journey, as he went through their hometown of Lystra. And in Acts 16, that's when Paul formally meets Timothy. And he meets Timothy because the brethren have given Timothy a good report. He's a young man at this time, but there's a good report that's went forth to Paul, and they introduce him. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 5 through 7. And go ahead, let's turn there, because I'd like to read that about what's going on here. And sometimes you read this stuff, and I'm not going to say misery loves company, but it sure does encourage your heart, and praise God, I hope, stir you up that he abides faithful. Amen? That he doesn't throw you out when you get down a little bit or you got a little bit discouraged, maybe even downright fearful. Nope, I will in no wise cast you out. I love you. There's a calling on your life. Praise God. And I'm so thankful that he's faithful to whom he's called. But in 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7 there, he's going to remind Timothy of that first meeting as he needs to encourage him. And let's go ahead and read from that fifth verse. It says, "When I call to remembrance," and this is Paul speaking to Timothy here, "when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Isn't that awesome? Unfeigned faith. Now, we know that only God abides faithful, but there was the believing of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. He took the truth. He was like-minded with Paul. There was no other one that was like-minded. It was so wonderful. Isn't it wonderful to have the mind of Christ? Isn't it wonderful to be of the unity of the Spirit? Isn't it wonderful that our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ? That is so absolutely wonderful, because it's our bond. It's our we're compacted, tightly fit. And as we realize that and experience that, there's a closeness that we can't describe. I was mentioning that Sister Esther that I had never met before at that wedding. A sister truly so full of the love of God. It was so wonderful. I didn't have time to know exactly what she knew and the different things, but let me tell you something. That sister loved the Lord. And there was an immediate, not just a liking, we're one. We were bone of bone and flesh of flesh. We are in that same body. It was just awesome. I love that. I love you. But I'm thankful to God as we see these different ones, whether it's in some of these other Grace and Glory meetings that you may never have met. In 3 seconds, you know that there's nobody closer to you that there will ever be by God's grace in your entire life. You know what I'm saying? Because we're one. We are wed, settling down, dwelling together, as in marriage. It's just, like I say, how beyond in Christ. But that's the reality of it all. But it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Pentecostal power. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How awesome. And this is where we're at, brothers and sisters. See, Timothy needed this. He was fearful and discouraged. But Timothy was an exceptional brother in faith, in believing the Lord, in receiving the word of God and saying, you know what, just like old Herbie back there in Missouri, as he continued to hear the things of God that were preached to him, he said, "You mean the Lord said that? That says that in the Word of God? Well, I need that. Well, I need that too. You mean I can be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I need that." Bam, he was filled. He just said it just immediate by faith, by faith, by faith. I'm so thankful to God. And that's the simplicity of it all. It's faith like a child. God help us to have that, to respond in that depth of believing immediately. Lord says it, it's so. Praise be to God. But see, he was a true disciple of the truth in love doctrine. He was a joy to Paul, a yoke fellow, as Timothy would become the one who Paul would speak of. And let's turn over here in Philippians chapter 2. And I kind of mentioned this a little bit ago, but let's go ahead and read the scripture on this as we get going here. But in 2:19, Paul's again speaking to the Philippians. And remember, these are them horses. I love it. They're the runners. They're the ones that are running for this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul wants to get to them. Paul wants to see them. Paul wants to fellowship with them. But obviously, God has him in a place, in a prison, and he can't get there. But he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus. See, isn't that wonderful? He wasn't going to trust in a vessel. He wasn't going to trust in himself. He was going to trust in the Lord Jesus. Always trust in the Lord Jesus. That's the only place to trust, and that's where he put his confidence. To send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. What confidence in Christ. And here he goes. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I mean, this was a desolate time. This was it. This was this little fearful guy he had to minister to shake him up. Well, we've gone to the bottom of the barrel, and this is what we got. But you know what? That bottom of the barrel was just what God was looking for. That broken heart and contrite spirit, and praise be to God how he could use him. And so he sent him. And hallelujah, this was the one that was like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Isn't that something? You see what happens to Christians? They start seeking their own stuff. And that's what it is. It's a self-indulgent. Anything of that kind of stuff, you're going to just start walking away from the truth. But what Paul so encouraged is that this is a brother that seeks the things which are Christ. See, and it goes on to say, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Not at the soup kitchen. Not in this land or that land or anything. Now, that might come about. I'm not against that stuff. You know that. I'm so thankful he's not here. I can talk about him a little bit. But it's amazing what God can do in some of these kids. But Rod's been encouraged even on his own to go out and help and minister some different things. And I'm so grateful to God what's going on in our young people. But those are some good reports. Praise God. But it's the gospel. It's the gospel. Praise God. And that's what this is, that he served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So Timothy was the one, brothers and sisters, that we can be assured followed Paul as he followed Christ. That marked that high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message that was given by grace to Paul. And this letter to Timothy, I just rejoice in this. You have to think about this. When he wrote this letter to Timothy, it was merely 13 years after he first met him at Lystra. And I think about that. How, you know, we can think 13 years is a long time in some respects, but to have that kind of responsibility, that's amazing what God did in that young man's life. That's amazing how fast that he brought that gospel and brought that encouragement to his heart and gave him that boldness. And it was the confidence not in Timothy, but in Christ in him. The gospel of Christ, the love of the doctrine, sound words. That's what it was. I'm sure there were a lot more eloquent preachers. I'm sure there were a lot more men and women that would have been received in a moment. Oh, I know that guy. He's famous. He does all of these different, you know, churches or things of that nature. Nope, I want him. He's the only one that's like-minded. He's going to preach to them the whole counsel, the full counsel of God. He's not going to hold anything back. He's going to give them sound doctrine. And that's why the Lord encouraged Paul's heart towards this dear brother. But my goodness, what God can do. And note as well, too, that Timothy, he fellowshipped with brethren of like precious faith. You'll read about him, and I don't want to go into a historical thing with Timothy, but there are some precious things just to point out about how we fellowship, as the Word of God says, assemble or gather yourselves the much the more as we see that day approaching. How important our fellowship is with one another. How important it is to come into an assembly of brethren of like precious faith. That when we ignore that or don't embrace that, we're missing truly the best part. And it really is. I believe that God has shown me very clearly, loving his appearing is loving his appearing now. And his appearing right now is in you. Christ in you. And if I don't want to be around Christians of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I don't love his appearing. I can tell you that right through the Word of God. It's very evident. That's why they call him the Philadelphia Church. Brotherly love. Not hit and miss. It wasn't the word that means us four and no more. I don't know what that one is. But it's Philadelphia. Brotherly love. Praise be to God. That's the one that's going to win it, is the one that has the love. But Timothy fellowshiped with brothers like this. Silas, Luke. It even says that he remained in Berea. I love that. Those Berean saints were the ones that searched the scriptures to see if they were so. See, I'm just so thankful for Timothy. See, Paul so cared for those that knew the truth. He wasn't sending Timothy out to go win souls. I'm sure it happened all along the way, just like it happened for Timothy and his family when Paul visited them. But the emphasis was, go preach that gospel to grow them up. This isn't plant the church time. This is grow them up time. Do you see how it was going on back then? They wanted the fat sheep. My goodness, as we said so many times, if Christ wanted them all, he would have just kept doing the miracles. And they would have followed him, but never for the right reason. The gospel. You start preaching the gospel, they start fleeing. I'm thankful for what he's given us here, brothers and sisters. But there's not many mighty and there's not many wise. And flat out, there's just not many that want to hear the word of God. I'm not complimenting you. I'm commending Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Thank him for his great grace. That's why I say, just thank him that that grace that was bestowed to you that you received for this. But he was encouraged to help these saints grow up. And this is all important stuff that reveals the heart of this dear brother. Okay, so without delay, let's go on back and let's start into 1 Timothy. And we'll just continue to allow the Spirit to minister to us. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, I love this and so many different things in this precious verse. But it says Paul, not an apostle of a church, not an apostle of a denomination, but an apostle of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, you will not read scripturally of anyone that grew in any denomination. It was always the gospel of Christ. Always. All of these different things that have sprung up, whatever organization it is, man, know that. And it's true. They can't deny it. It's exactly what it is. This is the divine, inspired, and true word of God, is your Bible. That's where it stops. That's it. If we're going to question which religion then to go with after that, because think of all the endless books, the fables, the genealogies, as we will read here in a moment. Which one would be right? Only the original. Only the Word of God. And I'm thankful that it makes it very clear in Revelation. You take away or add to it, not a good place to be. I'm confident that the Lord God of all is sufficient to give us everything we needed. Amen? Amen. All right. So, in that, we say thank you, Jesus. But here we go. We see that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And by the commandment. See, I love that. That's a mandate. It's an injunction. It's a command. My goodness, the very will of God. It's so awesome to think how the Lord calls us in that way. And know that for your life, brothers and sisters. God's not wishy-washy. Do you know that? Trust him. Trust him. He loves you. And he wants you to finish filled with all the fullness of God. Just as Brother Paul. As Brother Paul preached and encouraged, inspired in the Spirit, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. the full reward, the same. Praise be to God. Isn't that wonderful? A sun glory for you too? Kind of gets the hair standing on my neck. But see, that's what this is about. I'm thankful to him. We're again praising Christ in us, the hope of glory. But see, brothers and sisters, it goes on to say that this is God, our Savior. And that's right, God. And see, we have to understand this, that this word God here, theos, it's the Trinity. And understand that without the Trinity, there would be no salvation. It takes the whole Trinity. I'm so thankful to Jesus. And stay with me on this. Don't be confused. Jesus Christ is our Savior. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved. It has to be Jesus. We understand that. He is our Savior, our personal Savior. But we have to understand that it was God the Father that so loved that he gave. Amen? Amen, he gave. He gave the Savior. And then it's the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, who convicts and opens the heart unto salvation. So all I can stand back and say, oh my goodness, the power of the Godhead. And this is exactly what this is getting at here, is the Godhead. Turn with me real quick to Romans 1 and verse 16. And I believe that this is such an encouragement to your heart in this. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Praise be to God. For it is, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So think about that. It's the power of God. The power of God. Now there be no power but of and from God. That's it. Amen, amen. And then there's the power of his might. Praise be to God. And then all power that be is given. And someday it's going to be. It's done, but it has not all been seen and revealed. Praise the Lord. Christ Jesus is our head. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for that. So we see that that power there is the very power of God unto salvation. The Son is given. And then it goes on back there in that first verse. It says, and who... which is our hope, and that is, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our confidence is in him. We cannot please the Father without faith. We understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is all Jesus. So believing in the God of hope, or abounding in hope, praise be to God, it must be through believing. It must be through faith, as we rejoiced on last Sunday morning. Now let's go ahead and read verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, so precious how this all comes down from the throne. Come boldly to the throne of grace. But this is so beautiful here because Timothy, brothers and sisters, is Paul's son in the faith. And as I mentioned earlier, I pray to the Lord that we are that same in faith son unto the ministry and the message given by Paul. I pray that we are Paul's sons in the faith. The relationship, again, in faith, in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. Not in hierarchy, not in position. He wasn't called just because Paul knew him. He wasn't called just because, well, he's from this family, or we knew that, you know, he went to this church for a long time. No. It's because the faith that dwelt in that brother, the truth and love that was very evident in his life. And I'm grateful to God. This is what struck Paul's heart, and this is what he was moved in by the Spirit to write this letter, because it was by faith. Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters, the word of his grace, is what builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. We know that in Acts 20:32. And it's specifically that gospel, Paul's gospel, as the word of God tells us, the mystery of Christ. That's what was brought forth at that time. That's why he's so emphatic about Timothy going back to these different saints. And obviously he's going to Ephesus here in a minute. God has encouraged Paul, send that brother and that brother only. He is the one that is like-minded. He is the one that will stand and withstand, and having done all to stand. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Praise be to God. He may have went through a time, but I will in no wise cast thee out. Praise the Lord. And brothers and sisters, here we are at this time. And I am grateful to God that we too by grace will endure sound doctrine and sound words as we look to the Lord by grace, by grace, by grace. All right. So here we have Paul and the word of his grace gospel, this mystery of Christ. And I'm so thankful again that it's that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with Christ Jesus. And it came from nowhere else but that chosen vessel unto me, from Paul. How wonderful. And see, it never changed. It went from Paul, praise God, to Timothy. And others, don't get me wrong. But in this case, in this instant, it went from that. That same message, again, we're not magnifying Paul, but he was the chosen vessel unto him. And God chose that vessel, the chief of sinners, to bring that marvelous message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus through. And it's so wonderful how that same thing plays out again and again today. I was thinking, as the Lord was encouraging my heart in this, how that same message of Paul hit Brother Copley. And that same message of Paul hit Brother Hill. And that same message of Paul has hit us. And by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, I pray we too be vessels that would be used to preach that whole counsel of God, not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, be instant in season to give out sound doctrine. Why beat around the bush? Why try to itch somebody's ears? Why try to make somebody feel good? I don't want to waste my time anymore, I'm telling you. Don't want to cast the pearl among swine, as the word of God says. It's just too good. I don't want to waste time. And it's not being arrogant. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love with the head and I'm in love with the body. I can't explain it. You just got to take a bite of that peach and you'll know it. And that's where he's called us to. It's insatiable. Praise God. It's a singleness of heart and mind. It's a narrow way. You get pressed. You're willing to leave because you love. You go unto him without the camp. Praise be to God. Where else are we going to go? Come this far. I don't want to go back there no more. Praise the Lord how this is. Brothers and sisters, we're living it. That's what's so beautiful. And may we be vessels supplied to pass it on. Amen? Preach it in your homes. Stand for it. Here a little, there a little. It's not pounding somebody over the head. We don't do that. This is too good. It's a privilege, first of all, to know the Lord. And then what a privilege it is to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. Hallelujah. We are privileged people. We're children of the King. We're His inheritance. My goodness, sons of God right now. And by God's grace, maybe even looking at maybe a small little bunch of joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. We're all suffering. I just pray that we're suffering for Christ's sake. Amen? Amen. All right. And then notice again at the end of that verse, which is so precious. Grace, mercy, and peace. You love all three of those? I pray you do. As a Christian, you have them. Rejoice in them. And I'm so grateful how over and over it's a perfect order. You'll never have peace without mercy. And you'll never have mercy without grace. It all begins with grace. That undeserved gift, that absolute love. And that brought us the mercy where we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But God. But God. And what He's done. And where He's brought us. And what He's enlightened the eyes of our understanding to see. And that by God's grace, He's encouraged our hearts not to turn back, not to have bones waxing into desert. But praise be to God, like a Caleb, oh no, we're well able to take it. It never grew old. I might be old on the outside, but my salvation is new every morning. Amen? You quickening in the way? I pray we are. Don't grow weary. No. It's all right. You might be slowing down a little bit on the inside. But it's being revealed. Because the manifestation of the sons of God is just about to be known. And there's a quickening going on. That's when you know that the Lord's coming. And it's soon. Praise His name. But it will always be from one place, that grace, mercy, and peace. It will always be in that order. You cannot have one without the other, and it's always going to be by grace. It's always there. As brother prayed for it, I'm thankful to the Lord. It's always there in full abundance, having all sufficiency in all things, to superabound to every good work. And it's always, praise His name. All right, let's go ahead and read 3 and 4. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, and this is Paul again talking to Timothy, when I went into Macedonia, and think about this, brothers and sisters, because again, he's encouraging this sweet brother to go and dwell with these saints. Now, they're having some problems there. We know that, and we're going to talk about that here just in a minute. But he brought him back to those saints that know the truth, to be quickened in that. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. He wasn't, again, going out to plant churches. He was going back in there to, there were some ornery sheep. And they were getting carried away with different winds of doctrine. And that's what happens. And praise be to God, this vessel was going to be used to encourage them. But he said to him, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. See, there were some things going on. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Praise be to God. What a command. But this is the man of God. And Timothy is called that in 6:11. But he tells him to abide at Ephesus. And do you remember what the word Ephesus means? It means fully purposed. Abide in the place of fully purposed, you Timothys. Amen? Amen. Not willy-nilly, not here and over there and all of that. In the place of fully purposed. Praise God, that's where to be. Those precious Ephesian saints, these were the ones that Paul so desired to see when Paul was stuck there in Corinth and he wanted to get out of there and get back in fellowship with them. These are those saints. Those were the saints that received that high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. But something was obviously slipping here. The crown message. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That crown message was slipping away from them. It was becoming something that was maybe old. Oh, I've heard that before. Not as dear anymore. It was slipping away. And there was a ripe time when that happens for that crown to be stolen. And so sadly, we see that falling away really excelled in John. John says in Revelation 2:4, as it speaks of the church of Ephesus there. Remember all of the things he commends the church for, but he says, I have one thing against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. May we be ones that preach the first love doctrine. This is intense. Praise the Lord. If there's something to be intense about, this is it. We do need to be intensely by God's grace and love. Now, this isn't something that we work up. It's got to be His Spirit and His grace. But God, help us to give over to it. This is a serious thing and to be sober about. As I was speaking with a sister the other night, I love to laugh. I think in my life I'm a great kidder. And I've grown up with my dad, and my goodness, we were, busting guts all the time in the house. That's the way it was. But that seriousness of who and what we are and what the purpose of this life is. Thanks be to God that grace held us in that way. And that's what it's about. And when we get into Bible study and the seriousness of it, yeah, there's a smile on our face, there's a joy, and you laugh in the Lord and a lot of different things. But we want to win Him. There is a mark. And praise the Lord, we want to finish with a full joy. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and we know that. But I want Him to finish that faith with a full joy. I want Him to have that faith finished that I am ready to be offered. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That I too with Paul stand there and can say those things that I have kept the faith. Praise God. I know that's His grace. That I have finished my course. Hallelujah. It's just awesome stuff. But that's what only God and this precious doctrine can do. But Timothy, he said, charge them. They're valuable to me. I know you're only a young man, but be strong in faith. God's called you. Be strong in faith. See, we need to be bold, don't we? Amen, we do. A lot of folks from time to time, well, I'm kind of shy. You've got to get over your personality. I'm serious. I've told you many times growing up, and I'm still naturally more that way. I am not a bold person in a sense that I like to go and mingle and do all the... But when the love of God hits your life, you can't help it. You cannot help it. It's just what He is. It's just what He is. And He's ready to give every man an answer, isn't He? And He looks upon the lowly. He wasn't looking for the crowd. He'd just see one. Who touched me? That's the one I want. I'm not trying to insult any of you, but there was one. The virtue just came out. Who's that one? Amen? Yeah. But that's Christ in us. And see, that's the same life. I pray we know that. This isn't something we try to create. This isn't something, what would Jesus do? I thank God for the thought in a sense, but don't go that way. He lives in me. He knows what to do. Amen? All right, come on. Think about these things. See, some of this stuff might sound good to our ears and good to our feeling. Oh, what would Jesus do? And He's just shaking His head, thinking, what a, you nut? Come on, right? Grow up, but be strong in faith. God's called you. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what? And doctrine. Doctrine. The word of His grace. I'm grateful to the Lord. I usually get chastised at least once a week. Don't you care? Yeah, I care enough to tell you the word of God. I hurt for you, really do, but I want to hold your hand in faith. Amen? But preaching truth in love, it's not just reciting verses, don't get me wrong. But I'd rob you. I wouldn't be a joint richly supplying if it's not from the head. Here it is. This is it. If you want something else, I don't want to give it to you. I don't. You can go find it wherever you want and get whatever you think you need. But I'll pray to God you'll be back. Amen? Yep. Let's give the effectual working power. Praise the Lord. Not ear tickle stuff. But charge them, command them, order them to not be ashamed to declare it, that they teach no other doctrine. Again, this is Paul speaking about Paul's gospel, the gospel to win Christ, the gospel to be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you thankful by God's grace that we preach His bridal message every time we get together? I am. I'm thankful for that. That happens to be Paul's gospel, by the way. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs. As man and wife with Jesus Christ. That's just so tremendous. That's who we are. That's what it is. That's what we've been called and chosen. And by God's grace, Lord, work in us. Not that we've apprehended, but again, we press. We reach. And that's all just the grace of God doing it in us. It's nothing of me. But then... this is the gospel to love the appearing. This is the gospel that receives the exalted rank of righteousness. And I want you to understand that it's all from doctrine. It is. That precious truth in love, that precious word of His grace. There's no other way. And it's precious because you will find the word doctrine, can you imagine, 8 times. 8 times. In 1 Timothy. 8 again is the bridal number. You'll find that in there. And I'm so thankful to God again how He emphasizes the doctrine, how paramount and vital it is to winning the crown. See, there's no other way but doctrine. There's no other way to know the love of Christ but doctrine. There's no other way to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without doctrine. That's it. That's how it's going to come. As Paul professed the effectual working of doctrine that was given to him. That was over there in Philippians chapter 3. And let's go over there. Close it out here in just a moment. But in Philippians chapter 3, let's start reading from verse 10. See, this is that doctrine. That I may know Him. This is the I may know Him doctrine. You want to know the love of Christ? That's the doctrine. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. And here we go, if by any means. See, when this doctrine strikes your heart, this will happen. It's just, the light went on. And the if by any means just come right out of my life. As Brother David just said, I pant after You, Lord. I'm delirious. You've done something in me, hallelujah, by Your Spirit. And this is what it is. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Those that don't know what that means, that's the out resurrection. That's the first trumpet rapture. That again is that Philadelphia church that is spared from the tribulation. You'll see that very clearly there in Revelation chapter 3. Not as though I had already attained. See, he's not saying that, oh, I've got this one done. Either we're already perfect. Now again, Paul had known the Lord for about 30 years at this time. He was the one that knew that, praise God, I'm raised and seated in the heavens in Christ. He's the one that preached, praise the Lord, Romans 8, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Righteous and holy, done deal. Praise be to God, finished. But what did he say here? But I follow after if that I might apprehend. There's something more. How clear this is. How incredibly awesome and apparent. You talk about cookies on the shelf. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know that. Get excited about it. You know that. That's a treasure. That's the treasure. Thank you, Jesus. But there is no other way to this except for the message given by Paul. Now, closing this out, it goes on to say, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies. And you see what happens there. They just minister questions. It gets into stupidity. I don't have time for stupid. I don't. I want to be patient, but I don't want to be patient for that. And don't give yourself over to it. You're wasting your time. Let the love of God make you lovely to Him. And not to be a man pleaser. God help us. And how profitable will be to the Lord. But you think again how quickly they fell away from the truth. These Ephesians. Do you realize that that letter to the Ephesians was only written 1 year before this letter to Timothy? It was 1 year. That's how fast things started to happen. Let me tell you something. You start making steps towards these things away from the gospel of Christ, you don't realize how quickly things can separate us and divide us. You know what I'm talking about. God help us to stand in defense of it. Very, very precious to understand. But these were the ones that Paul would have called the jewels in his crown. And turning to every wind of doctrine, having itching ears for everything but the truth in love doctrine. And there are so many of these winds of doctrine out there, I'm not going to waste my time in addressing them or the counterfeits, but I'd rather talk about the real McCoy, and that's the one true doctrine, and that's Paul's gospel. And it says there in Romans 2:16, it's Paul's gospel which the secrets of men by Jesus Christ will be judged according to my gospel. It's important, isn't it? Very important. And then what I'd like us to do to end this is listen to the proof and the evidence of truth of sound doctrine every time. As it says in that fourth verse there, instead of ministering questions, it brings godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. See, that's the beautiful thing about the doctrine of Christ. It doesn't sprout up stupid questions. It doesn't start questioning things that don't need to be asked. It brings about godly edifying, which is in faith. Edification, brothers and sisters, means building, encouragement. It means enrichment, all by faith. That comes by faith, not by joining a church, not by going on retreats, not by get-togethers, not by worship teams, not by song services, not by feel-good books, but by faith. And how does faith come by? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. How simple. Isn't it gloriously simple? I love how this is. See, and that's just, man can't puff themselves up and walk around and say, oh, well, that, you know, I got to think of something different and I got to have something new and a new spin on this deal because I've got to, again, magnify myself. Remember those that had gone away? It's because they were about self and not about the gospel of Christ. That's why Timothy was marked of Paul, because of the gospel of Christ in him. That's why he was useful, because of the gospel of Christ. See, brothers and sisters, it's not in what sounds good to man. It's not in what feels good. It's not in what is socially acceptable. It's not in what we think causes everybody to get along. That's not what this is about. It's about sound doctrine. Amen? All right, now. Now, it's not that I'm, I want to seek peace with all men as much as lies within me. But what lies within me is the Word of God. And I am a peaceful fella. I don't want to fight with anybody, and I don't. I'll walk away from it. I used to not do that. But God has helped me, and I'm thankful that's Christ. But the one thing I pray that we will always do is to stand and withstand, and having done all to stand, because sound doctrine is always the Word of God and nothing else. And my goodness, what's set before us in this book here, all I can say is if we ignore and neglect this sound doctrine, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And this is it. This is the if by any means escape. You see where this is going? He wants you to win him. He wants you in that bridal company. He wants all men to be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. He's for you. Will you take it? Will you? Will you go? Praise God. I believe it's a good start at a Bible study. So we thank him for it. I appreciate Christ in you, brothers and sisters. Magnificent. Let's stand and be dismissed.